Okay. thanks for your patience. Having some bit of tech fun, getting some used to some new technology. So thanks for hanging in there for us. All right. Well, welcome to Way Out Fellowship Church number 106. It's an exciting year this year. In April, Way Out turns 10 years old. So looking forward to that one. Hey?
Roast dinner.
If you just tuned in on our live stream, g'day and welcome to Way Out Fellowship Church. I'm Stu Woods, community chaplain, based here in St. Luke's, Liverpool. Happy New Year, because this is my first opportunity to see many of you. We are live streaming, of course, from St. Luke's, Liverpool, based in the southwest of Sydney. It's February, the year of our Lord, 2022. Can you believe that? So the date today is the 2nd of the second month, 2022. So lots of twos. Shout out to all those who are watching online. It's our hope that those of you out there, here tonight and out there in internet land, will be challenged and encouraged by this talk tonight. Now, one of the things we do here is do an acknowledgement of country. So we at Way Out Fellowship Church would like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land here in Liverpool. In our Heavenly Father's wisdom and love, he gave this place to the Cabrigal clan of the Darug Nation. And as we continue to learn and live together on these ancestral lands, we pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Lord God, I ask that you would unite us all in the knowledge of your Son, by whom all things have been created and have their being. Holy Spirit, please move throughout our great nation and bring healing to this country and all its many peoples. In Jesus' mighty name. Righto, well, time now for some Way Out news. We're still working on the audio. You're right to turn it up now. Thanks, Al. Sorry about that. Okay, so we've got some Way Out news. I would like to congratulate our former senior minister, Stuart Pearson, on receiving Liverpool City Council's Citizen of the Year Award on Australia Day. It was awesome to see our local council recognise his 25 years of service, sharing the gospel and serving in our local community here in Liverpool. And it happened on Australia Day when they had those awards and what have you. Now, if you haven't got the memo yet, haven't been spammed by my texts, our services are up and running again. So Monday kicked off the week with Sorted and God Stuff in the afternoon, Lion Run and Power yesterday, Tuesday, and here we are today. So Sorted is a holistic life skills course for men, Mondays from 10. God Stuff runs at 1:30, goes for an hour or so after Sorted on a Monday. And Power there starts at 11 o'clock. Now, breaking news, we have our new senior minister has arrived at St. Luke's, Liverpool. He's not here today, so I'll give you a picture of what his head looks like. So I'm sure when you get to meet him, you'll agree with many of us who have already met him that Tim and his wife Anna and his family are a great fit for St. Luke's, and just heading us into the next chapter of St. Luke's here. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would work in the hearts and minds of all those who will be engaging with our holistic courses, our Bible study groups, and the many other ministries and church services this year. We pray that you would draw them all to yourself, enable all to be teachable and open to hearing your word, the Bible. Lord, we give thanks too for the 25 years of ministry by our former senior minister, Stuart Pearson, recognised by Liverpool City Council last week. We give you great thanks too for the new appointment of Tim Booker, our new senior minister and his family. May they settle into their new home and church quickly And Lord, please use them mightily to advance your kingdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, that's our news for this month. Bryce is going to come up now and read our opening prayer.
Heavenly Father, please open our eyes and soften our hearts as we look into your word again. Enable us to listen well in order to understand the truth you have for us this day. As we continue further into a new year, we still see so much suffering in the world. We ask that you would grant all world leaders great wisdom, insight, and understanding in themselves and in the people you have entrusted to them. Lord, I especially pray for those who are still affected by the COVID pandemic in recent times, struggling to get back to their usual day-to-day lives and including attendance at church activities. Help them to be brave as they seek and find a new normal. Convict all those who are corrupt and full of self-interest to turn from their wicked ways to become leaders who are other person-centered, generous and convicted to seek the good for all, good of all. Thank you for faith, your gifts of forgiveness, joy and salvation found only in your Son. Enable us, we pray, that we may to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Bryce. Let's kick off by looking at this month's POM. If you haven't heard that expression before, it simply means our proverb of the month. Here it is, Proverbs 10, verses 4 to 5. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. I love the book of Proverbs. It doesn't seem to pull its punches, does it? The wisdom it contains speaks of long known truths. Some that are hard to hear, yet we still need to hear hard truths, don't we? I think this generation's a little bit precious. They don't want to hear hard things because it offends them or it makes them feel uncomfortable. I think when we work through some of these things, we actually learn and grow. Now, I wonder if you've ever known yourself to be a lazy. Well, wisdom here in verse 4 sends a clear warning of the potential fallout. Lazy hands make for poverty. Wisdom is often presented in Proverbs using a contrast to provide better clarity for its hearer. Proverbs like these point out consequences, both good consequences and bad. Verse 4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Being diligent means being intentional, hardworking, industrious. It's logical that someone who is diligent will be rewarded in time for being proactive in their work. Makes sense, right? Proverbs like these are often self-explanatory to some degree. Verse 5, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Now, I think it's helpful that to point out that both these verses involve how the hearer deals with time. Time is forever ticking on. Wasting time is what happens when we fall into the trap of or habit of being lazy for extended periods of time. However, if we are wise with our time, it brings reward. Being mindful of the future, on the front foot, as it were, understanding that right now matters because it affects tomorrow, doesn't it? Sleeping your time away is disgraceful, says the wisdom writer. And when you think about it, if people were more diligent, more prudent, mindful of the future. Everybody wins. But when people are not, I reckon the whole community eventually misses out. When people aren't productive, if you like. Now imagine a society where everybody able simply did their part. What amazing things we could achieve with the resources God provides. One of those resources, of course, is time. God has given people the ability to earn an income. Why? Well, it's actually not for selfish reasons. Not so you can get more stuff. It's actually so you can actually help others that are in need. So I wonder how you might apply these verses in your own life. Worth thinking through. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wisdom you have for us in Proverbs. Lord, please continue to prompt us not to be people who are lazy. Rather, may your wisdom shape how we use our time and energy. Give us your wisdom in how best to use the time and resources you provide to each of us, whether we are at work, rest, or play. Thank you for how you delight in us, your children, teaching us by your word so that we can grow in wisdom and godliness and in our daily choices. Heavenly Father, please penetrate our sometimes stubborn hearts to trust more and more in your wisdom over and above our own. Keep working in our hearts, I pray, so we can be a little bit more obedient to you and your ways each day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, so I've called tonight's talk Living Life Worthy of the Price Paid. And at the end, I will be inviting you to give your heart to Jesus if you have not just yet. So what I want you to do, even though it's late at night, I want you to listen well. I want you to consider carefully God's word this day. Why? So you can make an informed decision. So Carl's going to come up and read our Bible reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21.
Thanks, Stu. Hi, guys. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he called on you, is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a father and judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Amen.
Thanks, Carl. Good job. I wonder what you hope for most in life. Is it plenty of money, good health, maximum comfort, to get an even bigger TV? They just keep seeming to make them bigger and bigger, don't they? Is it you're trying to chase a fast car, get a fast car or a bike or a better place to live, better address? Maybe it's to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend if you're single, or if you're married or about to be, that you hope to live happily ever after with lots of sex. The Apostle Peter, in this part in his first letter, is wanting believers to play what I'm going to call the long game. By that, I mean he wants his fellow believers in Jesus Christ to have an outlook that looks ahead, beyond those things that are only that only bring us immediate pleasure or comfort. So my first point from our passage in 1 Peter is get ready and get set for action, from verse 13. Now, just like the Proverbs we looked at, have us think about how we use our time and energy, I think that Peter's instruction too is challenging us in a somewhat similar way. In verse 3, he instructs believers to be fully sober and alert. Why? Verse 13, I think that says. So we can be ready for action. Intentionally looking far ahead, not just solely focused on our immediate wants. None of us know when God's Son, our Lord, will return. And so it's very easy, I think, to fall into the trap of, he's not coming for ages. Think about that God stuff later. But being a follower of Jesus involves dealing with the everyday, but with our hopes set ahead on God's undeserved gift when Jesus returns. See, having that mindset enables believers to put into perspective all those things like the death of a loved one, sickness, disease, COVID-19, financial concerns, even difficult or broken relationships. It helps us put those things in perspective when we're looking, ahead. So I wonder what you might do in response to this part of God's word. Verse 13, so will you from this day forward, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hearts on the grace to be brought you when Jesus Christ is revealed? Will you set your minds that way? There's the challenge, or command, actually, from Peter. Now, in addition, our next couple of verses, Peter commands believers to, my next point, be obedient, be holy in all you do, Peter says. Why do people obey rules? Especially when our sinful nature, let's face it, would rather have us break those rules. Is it just a threat of an expensive fine that keeps you under the speed limit? Or jail time to not do that crime? Is that the motivation to be obedient? Have you ever thought about the foundation, the true motivation or reasoning behind being obedient? Or being good? Or not being bad? I found these quotes on an Australian website. The website's called primaryethics.com.au, and they have a little section there about ethics classes. So in New South Wales public schools, there's a time slot set aside each week for teaching ethics or scripture. Since legislative changes in 2010, families are able to choose for their child to go to ethics classes as an alternative or scripture or to spending time in meaningful activities under supervised care. So in case you're unaware, the state changed legislation so that children, or really their parents, have an alternative to send their kids not to scripture class, to this other thing called ethics classes. I think back in, some of our day, what do we used to call it? Non-scripture? Something like that? Yeah, a few nods. Now, it sounds okay on the surface, doesn't it, to teach the kids to be ethical, to make good choices, and avoid all that religious crap? But if you really think about it, why be ethical? Why be good? Or why not be evil? What motivation is there to be ethical? Or good? Or not evil? What standard are they using if they don't use God's standard as a foundation? Well, they say the answer is apparently philosophical ethics. They say this: ethical questions are questions about what we ought to do and how we ought to live. Secular or non-religious ethics explores these fundamental questions by means of reasoned discussion about values and principles, rather than an appeal to religious or cultural norms. This secular approach is sometimes described as philosophical ethics. Now, I don't know about you. This is a huge problem, because I've personally made some shocking choices in my younger days. Why? Well, I used my own reasoning, didn't I? The reasoning of fellow non-Christians at the time. No doubt you would have as well, or maybe you still are, making terrible choices. See, the values, and principles that any human can come up with without input from our Creator God, even after discussion with others, can often be riddled with self-centeredness and sin. For example, I have an ex-outlaw mate, a biker mate, whose club motto that he was a part of, according to the values and principles they agreed to as members, right? This was their motto: do to others before they do unto you. Well, see, that's reasoned logic. It's pretty messed up, though. It's just one example. But surely you can see that if we leave the coming up to ethics to ourselves, we are going to end up with even bigger problems. And this website is for primary-aged kids. Imagine what kids can come up with after discussion, what is okay to go and do. Messed up. All right, let's go to the good book and get sorted out. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16 says this: as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. You see, Peter is simply saying, now you have chosen to follow Jesus, because he's writing to believers, this letter. You know, he doesn't want them to conform. In other words, do not shape your life around the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But God, who is holy, that is pure and morally blameless, he has set the highest standard. And followers of Jesus are to follow his example in some of what we do. No, didn't say that. In all we do, we're to follow his example. Now, I'm sure if you and I were to set the standard instead, we would not want him to be setting it so high, would we? Right? I think our human nature, on a generous day, might want a 51% pass mark. Right? After all, that's sort of what the education system teaches you. Yeah, you're just across the line. You're okay. Oh, yeah. In the Greek, you might have heard the word sin. Surely you've heard the word sin, right? Well, in the Greek, the explanation in English for the word sin is to, if you sin, you miss the mark. So I've made a little illustration there. Hope that's clear. So whoever's throwing the darts is sinning. Okay? to not sin, right, is to hit the bullseye. But to sin is to miss it altogether, right? Someone once said, if you aim at nothing, well, guess what? You're bound to hit it. Now, whilst being consistently holy is pretty close to impossible if you've really tried, nevertheless, we must continually be reminded to intentionally readjust our standard and aim for what our Creator God has set in place. So to be even clearer, another little illustration, to be holy, if you like, is to hit the bullseye. Always aim for the bullseye. Peter's saying, be holy because I am holy. If you miss, just keep working on it, will you? That's how anyone gets better at anything. Now, have you ever played darts before? Yeah? How were you at the beginning? And if you haven't played for a while, how are you now? Well, are you doing that? Missing again? Hitting the wall? I think it's a really helpful way to know. That illustration is a really helpful way to know how a Christian is to live life. Aim for that high standard. And if you fall short of it, and you will, as do I, readjust your aim and have another crack at it. Else we will almost always gravitate back to our sinful ways, won't we? It's likely to be gradual, but over time, others notice the slide from the standard, don't they? Especially if they're getting darts in their foot, on the back of their head. Right? But the slide happens more and more, doesn't it? You become more and more ungodly. And that's what you see when someone disconnects from church, stops listening to God's word, stops, you know, praying, all that sort of stuff. Swearing becomes easier. Compromises, just that little bit more attractive than they were before. Ungodliness increases, and holiness just seems to fade away. Now, if you call yourself a Christian, ask your mates how you think you're going on the subject of being holy. Now, I have a close mate still who, decades ago, wasn't a Christian. And he told me straight up once what a hypocrite I was. I was calling myself a Christian, and seriously, if someone's going to convict me of being a Christian, they would have had a hard time of finding any evidence, you know what I mean, apart from what I'm flapping my gums about. It was so hard to hear. But it actually helped me get serious, really serious about my walk with Jesus. I now praise God for my mate, for his comments all those years ago. And I praise God, he himself has given his heart to Jesus since. No thanks to my poor example at the time. My third point. Live life worthy of the price paid. Peter reminds us in verse 17 that God judges the things we do without playing favourites, because he is a fair judge, but also a just judge. It is right to fear him. So Peter says, Christians should rightfully live out their days as foreigners here in reverent fear. What does that look like? Well, essentially, we are to live clinging to the hope we have in Christ. And with everything else in life, hold on to it very loosely. Everything you can see and touch in this world, as the expression goes, you can't take it with you. Wealth and riches, silver or gold, will not give you a ticket to heaven, no matter whether you are Elon Musk or a Bill Gates. Peter here, in God's word, reminds us that those things, as attractive as wealth and those things seem so attractive, they all perish in the end. What sinners need most is their sins forgiven. And only the precious blood of Jesus, which was poured out for them at the cross, can achieve that. You see, in the Old Testament part of the Bible, God taught his people that he was super serious about sin. He taught that the sin is costly and that nothing short of death was required to pay the price for your sin or for the sins of people in Jesus' day. So God set in place the sacrificial system where animals were sacrificed, giving his people a graphic reminder of just how serious God is about them breaking his commandments. And God chose before the creation of the world a way to pay the price to save us, because we can't. When he sent his one and only son, Jesus, and allowed him to be brutally crucified on a Roman cross, he was showing the true cost of your sin and mine in a grotesque and graphic display. It's a serious and stark reminder to all believers just what our sin does to God. But it also revealed his immense love he has for you and I. Jesus, in obedience to his heavenly Father, took on himself the punishment, absorbing God's wrath in a display of love no one could have ever imagined. Jesus was the only person who ever lived without sinning. And using my previous illustration with the dartboard, Jesus always hit the bullseye, living out a holy life in complete and full obedience to his Father. That's why Peter, in verse 19, describes him as a lamb without blemish or defect. He was a perfect, the perfect sacrifice who redeemed you and I from eternal punishment. 1 Peter 1:17. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I hope you're beginning to understand that you can never buy, never earn God's forgiveness. It's simply on offer, at no cost to you, at no cost to me. Because he has absorbed your sin at the cost of his only son. You see, God loves you in a way that nobody else can, and in a way that nobody else does. God, being the good judge he is, will never let sin go unpunished. And burn this in your brain. Know that God judges with absolute fairness. You see, it's because God is holy. He cannot and will not tolerate sin, as sin to him is utterly repulsive to his holiness. And so therefore it's right to live out our lives in reverent fear, because we are so often unholy, yeah? And because God knows your every thought, your every word, your every deed, and if you're without Jesus, you are therefore left then facing his righteous anger and judgment because of all those things that when you are breaking his laws. That's what's going on. You're going to face his righteous anger. And there's nothing and no one except Jesus, the Lamb of God, says Peter, who can take away your sin and mine. So praise be to God for giving followers of Jesus a way out of an empty way of life with its evil desires and obvious punishments. Can you see why Jesus is so important? And all he asks of you is to believe. My fourth point. Jesus revealed leads to faith in God. Jesus was chosen in God's great master plan before the beginning of time to be our Savior, our Redeemer. He was revealed about 2,000 years ago in God's perfect timing on that very first Christmas for a task no one but Jesus, who was in his lifetime without blemish or defect. No one else could achieve that. No one else has achieved it yet. See, then the message of the gospel is the good news of Jesus is taking the punishment on himself, absorbing it in himself out of an unfathomable love for those who have believed. Verse 20:21. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. God raised Jesus from the dead and has crowned him with glory and honor because he suffered death. You can read more about that in Hebrews 2, verse 9. This demonstration of immeasurable love for scumbag sinners like you and I brings faith and hope into the lives of believers. This faith and hope are in God, says Peter. Jesus was the sacrifice who willingly paid the terrible price at the gruesome cross. He was rejected by his own people, scourged with whips, beaten, crucified, and died, and descended to the dead, because there was no other way. It is my hope and prayer that every single person who hears this message now, online, or in a recording later on, that you take it so seriously. We're talking about your eternity here. And I hope you take it so seriously that you put your faith and hope in the Savior. And if you have not yet, maybe today is that day to ask Jesus into your life, acknowledging what he has done for you. Like I said at the start, I want to now invite everyone who has not yet asked Jesus into their life to do so right now. So what does that involve? Well, for those of you that are here, on the back of the service sheet is a sinner's prayer. And for those of you watching online, it'll be up on the screen. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus, if, you know, like, why put it off? You'll never have every question answered, but why not start your journey? If you, please pray this with me. I'll read it, and if you agree with what I'm saying, then repeat each part after me. Now, not to embarrass anyone, but if the believers in the room also say it out loud, if everyone says it out loud that wants to, then no one's going to be finger pointing, okay? And if you don't feel like praying, maybe you just don't feel like praying today. Maybe you've already prayed it, so don't feel embarrassed. So let's pray the sinner's prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, which has given me new birth into a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Lord, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you, and I don't deserve your gifts of mercy, love and forgiveness and eternal life, all those things I desperately need. I also admit to following evil desires when I lived in ignorance. I now understand what you have done in sending Jesus. who suffered and died for me, in place of me, and for all my sins. I choose now to put you as King and Lord over everything in my life. Thank you for redeeming me, completely paying the price for all my sins at the cross. Enter my life now, I pray. Raise me from the dead, my old way of living. Just as you were raised from the dead at your resurrection. I fully accept your gift of forgiveness and of eternal life. Please walk with me forevermore, guiding me, sustaining me for all my days. And I ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Guys, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time seriously, then welcome to God's family. The Bible says that there's a party going on in heaven when someone turns to the Lord. And if you've decided to make that decision, then please, would you let me know so I can pray for you and support you in your journey as a Christian. You are now born again. Now, just let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, please help us to be fully alert and sober, ready for action, with our hopes set on the coming grace when Jesus returns. Lord, help us to be obedient to you and your ways, no longer conforming to evil desires when we lived in ignorance. We want to be holy because you are holy. You have set the best standard, the bullseye for us to aim for. Please move your spirit mightily in each of us to be better at saying no to sin and yes to your holiness. We ask for your help in living out our lives worthy of the price you paid to redeem us, the precious blood of your Son. Enable us in your mercy and grace to leave behind the empty way of life handed to us by our ancestors, the life we inherited. Thank you for revealing to the world your Son who you raised from the dead and glorified, and for how this leads us into having our faith and hope in you, Father. Lord, we also ask for help from you, for the island people of Tonga and all the other places affected by the recent volcanic eruptions. Please convict people to give generously to help that tiny nation to get on its feet again. For those listening who are yet to accept your gift of salvation, please continue to draw them to yourself, Lord. Lastly, Lord, we give you thanks for the wonderful food you have provided. Please bless all the hands of those who have helped prepare it for us. And I ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'll just run through a couple of things. So that's you'll see on the live stream, if you go and check it out later on, how you can help give to the Tonga appeal. With the volcano thing there. And there's just going to be a few things coming up. But basically, thanks for listening. And for those out on internet land, we'd all love to see you at St. Luke's 10:30 on a Sunday. And you'll see all the information come up shortly. We'd love to see you at our next way out here on March the 2nd. So God bless and bye for now. And if you'd like to, please hit subscribe. Here's some ads for you.